who can discern. Discerning relationships. Discerning of times and seasons. Discernment of atmospheres. Discernment of God's move, God's work. Discerning the glory. All these things we can really start getting hold how this operates. Once you sense them, you understand them, you have authority over them. You can navigate your way and walk in freedom and alignment with the Lord. When we try to solve a problem in a church or a leader or a nation, we really need to have a discernment, the root causes of what, why we reap those results again. Why this problem is there. A woman, a godly woman came, she was in tears. I looked at her face from a distance, I said, I'm sure God is going to heal her, she's sick. I was about to lay hands and pray, and the Holy Spirit says, I want to heal that woman, but she needs to forgive before I release my healing to her. So I told her, she broke down in tears and crying, and she came to a place of forgiveness from all of her heart. Once she confessed that sin and cleansed and forgave, immediately she received healing. So that issue of discernment can help you to find the root causes of the problem, where it started there, and God is able to cleanse and to remove. We know 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2-9. I'm just referring those as an introduction. It's good to study them. It says here it says how to develop the character of love in order to discern. It says here, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to self-control godliness. Add to godliness brotherly love. And add to the brotherly love, love. And if you don't have these things, the Bible says you are nearsighted and blind. You cannot discern unless you develop that character, the mature character of the love of God. Now, in the Bible, there is the issue of spiritual blindness. We understand that unsaved people are spiritually blind, because the devil blinded their hearts so they cannot comprehend the gospel. So we have to take authority over that and release those people from spiritual blindness. I was in the country of Morocco. One of the Muslim leaders there in the mosque wrote me a letter. He wants to meet with me. So I met him for 2 hours. And he wants to know about who is Jesus. Explain to me. So for 2 hours, telling him about Jesus. You know what he said? What you are saying, I cannot swallow. I cannot swallow. So I told him, listen, can I pray? He said, go ahead. I prayed. Because of the shorter of time, I told him, listen, I'm going to pray, and this is how you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. I left him. He wrote me back. He said, I know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I prayed the prayer, and I am a new believer in Jesus today. So when I went back there, he said, I want you to baptize me beside the mosque where I was. worshiping there. And now he is one of the main leaders in that country. It was like that blindness that somebody prayed for you to come to Christ. Somebody prayed for me to come to Christ. Somebody prayed for you for your eyes to be opened. So don't underestimate the church prayer for God to save people. We are puzzled by the Muslim terrorists. You know, they pull bombs, all kinds of bombs, and they go and blow themselves up and killing thousands of people or killing hundreds and thousands of people are wounded there. What in the world that this man, this woman is convinced to do that? It's the devil. It's the blindness. I met a man, he was on the list. His turn will come and he will do the suicide bombing in certain place in Israel. He was not really convinced of this, but his father is one of the main leaders, so he has to be one of the heroes. But he had different attitude, questioning why I should do that. This is not something humane or something. So he started seeking, and finally he came to meet the Lord, and he got to know the Lord as his personal Savior. And he told me, I was in that on the list, blind completely, knowing that this is the ultimate sacrifice that I do for God. And this is what causes the whole world to be terrified by this act. And because of spiritual blindness, and I tell you honestly, we have authority to release those people. And I have good news for you. Three of the main ISIS leaders, they met Jesus. And they shared their testimony. Jesus appeared to them because of the prayer of the saints. They became believers in Jesus. And they are in here in the States now giving their testimonies how they received the Lord as their personal Savior. So we have authority in that. Now, in 1 John 2:20, this is another one. There's in 1 John 2:20 it says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You don't need somebody to teach you. And so many times, I have an anointing, I don't need anybody to teach you. That's not what it means there. Write this down. That scripture speaks of corporate discernment. There is individual discernment and there is corporate discernment. You have the anointing. He's not saying you personally won. He said you. He's speaking to a multitude of believers. You have the anointing and you can exercise corporate discernment. Corporate discernment, you don't need the world to teach you. You have enough anointing, enough maturity to know the truth. And sometimes we confuse individual discernment than corporate discernment. And I encourage every church to have a corporate discernment, especially in leaders. Leaders, they get together, they pray, seek the Lord, then they discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. 2 years ago, we planned with other leaders to do a prayer conference in Jerusalem to invite the nations, delegates from all the nations. We were surprised to have over 4,000 people responded to come to that conference from 40 nations. And we were a team of leaders. We said, what's the theme of the conference? Who's going to speak? Who's gonna do the sessions? I mean, from Monday to Friday, it's a full day. I mean, who's gonna speak? You know what happened? Nobody spoke. There was no speaker. Imagine you have a conference with no speaker, with no theme, with nothing. But what we understood, that God wants the team, the leadership team, to sit and discern in the morning, early morning, before the day starts, the conference, to discern corporately what God wants us to do today. I was on my toes the whole time. I didn't have all my notes with me. I didn't have all my, you know, things. I can't teach, I cannot preach unless I have my notes. Now this is a higher level. How to run a conference, 4,000 people, no speaker, no theme, and you have a team, only discern what needs to be done today. And God is able to take us to that place. So we know God can lead us in advance. I agree with that. But times will come. Times will come. We'll say, I want you to have a deeper faith, a greater faith to discern, even on the spot, what the Lord wants. Amen. So the Holy Spirit will speak the truth to you. He will lead you. He will teach you. He will remind you. He will keep you from deception. He will help you to discern. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody says, I have a good conscience. I have a good conscience. I work and operate under a good conscience. Well, how many believe our conscience is not reliable? Because your conscience, my conscience, was formed and shaped by the culture, the background, the family, the education, the school, my conscience is a product of my background. That's why Paul said, I thrive to have a clear conscience before God and man. So conscience is good. That's the spirit area in you. But you need the Holy Spirit and you need the Word of God. And that's how God is able to build that in us, developing our spiritual senses. As Peter came to Jesus, said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. 20 minutes later, what happened? There was a shift that took place. The Son of Man is going to be delivered to the hand of the sinners, and he will be crucified the third day. He will rise again. Peter said, no way, you're not going to do that, you know. And Jesus said to him, get behind me. He had discernment from the devil. Get behind me, Satan. You care about what people want. So you can be a giant on Sunday and on Monday, get behind me, Satan. Discern. Yeah, on Sunday we can discern. That's easy. We can behave Christians on Sunday. I don't want to talk more about that. Now, you tell me, how really I can discern when God speaks to me? How can I discern His voice from my voice or from the devil's voice? You know, when the devil speaks to you, fear comes, confusion comes. When the devil speaks to you, your faith was here, and after the devil speaks, your faith goes down. You lost your hope. You lost your faith. But when the Lord speaks to you, always interrupts your thoughts, brings clarity, surround you with His presence, releases hope, releases joy, releases faith. You say, I can do it. What about my voice? How can I discern my voice from the Holy Spirit? I tell you, your voice, it's a series of thoughts. But the voice of God is interruption. And the best way to really put your thoughts on a paper and allow God to speak to you. So always the discernment and the voice carries the nature of God in it. It carries the nature of God. Now, let me just wrap up. I think we're... Now, we can discern out of tradition. We can discern out of being conservative. You can discern out of fear. You can discern out of wounds, pain. You can have a lot of discernment. It's birth of these things. If we ask, Naomi in the book of Ruth, what happened? She went 10 years to Moab and came back to Bethlehem, and the people knew her. She was known. She said, don't call me blessed, Naomi. Call me bitter. Now she had painful past. So all the discernments that are gonna surface out of that past pain. So much we cannot see clearly because of these issues. So God will bring clarity, removes confusion, clear direction, and we start moving with freedom. Let me give you at the end some of guidelines, then we'll continue tomorrow. But before I give you this, maybe your personality, your type of personality clouds discernment. You're too tense, too fearful. You take one step ahead, two steps back. That type of personality can cloud your discernment all the time. So we are coming to a place tonight, we're coming to a place, Lord, free my personality. Free me from traditions, free me from pain, free me from all kinds of junk that I carry. Free me from all ungodly belief. I want to have a freedom so I can discern clearly. Now, I want to give you guidelines quickly and we'll pray. I know you'll be good listeners. Now, if I ask you tonight to close your eyes for 5 minutes and walk in the sanctuary, don't open your eyes. Don't do it now, but I'm saying. What I'm asking is, I want you to close your, imagine you're closing your eyes and walking in the sanctuary. 5 minutes. What happened? Can you last 5 minutes? Can you last? So you become so desperate, you want to open your eyes. Write this down. You want discernment? You have to be desperate. Desperation. Desperation. You have to become so desperate. Lord, I am so desperate. I can't see in the spirit. I don't have eyes. I don't have ears. My impressions, my heart. But when you become so desperate, that's a healthy place for God to say, now we are on the same page now. That's number one. Number two, We have to have a teachable heart. We need to have a teachable heart. Thirdly, we need to have a heart after God. A heart after God. We need to have a heart after the Lord. You're coming into that place. That place. Thirdly, we have to have a servant heart. I love the story of Naaman. Do you know Naaman, the general from Syria there, Assyria? He came to Elisha. He was leper. He had leprosy. And he came for Elijah to heal him. So he got offended three times. He said, I'm going back home. I don't want the healing of Israel. So who saved, rescued the situation? His servants. His servants told him, Father, Father, the prophet only told you a very simple thing. If he'd have told you, climb the mountain, you will do it. But he just told you very simple. The servants were able to discern. Now, when you have a servant heart, you will have ability really to discern. Somebody says amen. Now, when I was pastoring in Cana of Galilee many years back, and we have the jars that, you know, some jars that Jesus turned the water to wine. So we love that. But we know the story. We know the story very well. That wedding doesn't last, we think a wedding a day or two. Now, weddings in Israel, 2 weeks. People come and eat in 2 weeks. They will be your guest for 2 weeks. So all the wine will run out. What happened when Jesus turned the water to wine? It was in the kitchen, not in the reception place. Now, who saw the transformation of the water to wine? The servants. The people out there, they tasted the wine, but they didn't know how this wine came to be. And the servants, they were laughing behind. You don't know what happened. We know what happened there. So many people, they taste the wine, but they don't know how it happened. Oh, I got blessed today. God moved powerfully. But somebody knew what took place before the meeting. How about to discern before the service? Are you with me? To discern before every service in the kitchen. And let the people taste the new wine. But the ones that they know, discern, are the servants. We're the servants. And that's what I mean. When you set your heart, say, Lord, I want to serve you. God will give you a discerning heart. Number four, submission. Submission to the Holy Spirit. Submission to yielding, surrender to the Lord. That will help you to discern. I was booking a conference in one of the nations, and I was so excited. I want to go. I'm trying to book the tickets to do things. Nothing was working. And I thought the devil is attacking the trip. I started attacking the devil. You know what the Lord said? That's not the devil, that's me. I don't want you to go now. My brother and I, we were trying to buy a land to build a church. So we saw a piece of property on the corner, prime place. I mean, when we asked about the price is tempting. So I got so excited when we saw it. I said, that will be a perfect place for a church, to build a church. So I was so excited, I did not pray enough. So we went there to sign the papers, to own the, you know, final papers, you know, set there. Before we signed the papers, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Andrew, don't sign the papers. Go and kneel in the land and pray. We excused ourselves for an hour. We went to the land. We knelt there and we prayed. And after we prayed 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit said, open your eyes. I opened my eyes. Immediately, the Holy Spirit said, can you see that pile of rocks? I said, yes. He said to me, this is a tomb. According to the law of our land, I am buying a cemetery. I cannot remove any tomb. I cannot touch any tomb. You are buying a cemetery. You cannot build anything there. But these people, they were deceiving us to buy that. I'm glad we did not buy this land. And when we went to tell them, you know, why you didn't tell us? They said, you know, that a woman, her son died there, and she decided she wants to bury him there. And according to the land, to the law of the land, tombs are sacred. If they build a road and there is a tomb on the road, they make a bridge to go and keep going. They don't touch tombs. And I knew, I was so excited. Everything was so right. I did not pray enough. I encourage you. If you're excited, everything is coming together. Pray more. Pray more. Okay, where are we now? Okay, submission. Then number five, we need to renew. Five or six, we need to renew our minds. We need to have our minds renewed through the Word of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That has to be a daily process so we can discern. And let me give you one more. One more is we need to be established in authority and accountability. We need to be established in authority and accountability. What I mean by that, your life has to be in spiritual order. Many believers, they don't belong to any church. It's like there's this joint there. They're not connected. These people will have a struggle to discern. But when you come and say, Lord, where do you want me to be? God said, this is the church. You need to come and belong. You come to be established in God-given authority over your life, in accountability in the body of Christ. You're putting your life in order. Discernment will come very natural. You'll be able to discern. Independent spirit, isolation, you will have trouble. So these things that we shared will help us to really come closer and closer to be able to discern. Tomorrow morning, God willing, we'll start our teaching. We'll talk about sources of discernment, three types of discernment, how to establish, the develop discernment in our life, hindrances, results, and benefits, and how to discern. We have good notes here. Come tomorrow morning, and if you don't come, you have no discernment. Unless you have a commitment somewhere, I understand. Let's all stand before the Lord. Let's all. Can we just raise our hands and thank the Lord? Just thank the Lord.